Hello. So tonight we have two readings. Yay. So we'll start off in John 14 and start at verse 12 and go to 17. And then we'll pick up again in chapter 20 and go 19 to 23. So that's just a couple of pages after, not giving the page number. Chapter 14, verses 12 to 17. Truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So verse 19 of chapter 20. When it was evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they feared the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
Thanks, Jonah, for doing not just one, but because he was so good, we got him to do two at once, two for one special. Thank you for doing that reading for us. Now, tonight is, as we've mentioned, Mission Sunday. But I think, you know, we kind of feel that if you don't have the spirit for it, mission is impossible. In fact, if you don't have the spirit for it, doing any sort of works for God is impossible. Now, maybe you look at the heroes of the Christian faith, the great and bold missionaries and martyrs, and simply conclude, "Well, I'm not sure I have the spirit for it." Friends, tonight, as we come to our Mission Sunday, let's see what Jesus says to not just kind of the heroes, but to all who would follow him. That without the Spirit, mission is impossible. But actually, we have the Spirit of God with us and in us. And therefore, that God will send each of us out on mission. Well, let's pray about exactly that. That we might be on mission as his church, and that God will help us to get our heads and our hearts around what he has to say. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us this evening to be pushed to share your word and be challenged by the weight of the task and encouraged by your presence with us throughout it. Amen. Well, we pray it all the time, and we prayed it earlier in our service, that God would make us a people who love, equip, reach, and send, not in that order, all to his glory. We, in short, ask God that he would put us on mission as a church. Well, tonight we're going to actually unpack that, right? What does it mean for God to put us on mission? Just to give you a bit of a disclaimer, we read from both chapter 14 and chapter 20. I'm going to focus more on chapter 14. But in both passages, there are some things that we won't quite get to. So if you find any particularly prickly questions, Brian would love to answer them. The harder, the better. But in all seriousness, we're going to have a slightly shorter than usual sermon because Frank is going to help us think about the application of what mission looks like for us personally and us as a church, as we send people out and are involved in mission ourselves. Well, that being said, turn with me to John 14 if you've either closed it or turned away from it. And we're going to hear what Jesus says about sending all who trust him out on mission. But first of all, you might be thinking here, sitting here thinking, well, is mission even possible? Many of us already know how much our lives demand. We may think of the family we care for, whether it's looking after kids all day or a spouse or siblings or your parents. It's tiring. Maybe we think of the job or the degree or the school that we go to. That's tiring. Or maybe we think of all the things we do at church. Right, as wonderful as they are, that can be pretty tiring too. And now we come to Mission Sunday and suddenly we want to talk about adding mission into the mix. Well, that sounds active, hard. It sounds tiring. In fact, it might even just sound impossible to you. So much so that we'd be doing well if we could just scrape by when it comes to mission, right? And yet, according to Jesus in John 14, greater works than his are not only possible, but promised. Now, that seems in itself a bit of an impossible statement. Jesus, who at this point had been boldly getting in the face of the Pharisees. They wanted him dead, by the way. Jesus, who had healed and fed people and changed people. He'd called people to follow him and just about flown in the face of every single cultural, social, political, religious norm in order to get out there and preach the news that he'd come to save people from their sins. And yet, verse 12, the very same Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, if it wasn't Jesus who was saying this, how would you react? Get out your heresy bell and start ringing it, right? Greater works than Jesus? You gotta be kidding me. I mean, honestly, that probably just sounds impossible to you, right? Or maybe your second thought after thinking this doesn't sound right is, well, maybe he's just talking to the disciples who are with him. After all, they did some pretty amazing, miraculous things, similar in one sense to many of the things we saw Jesus do. And yet, as we read these words from Jesus, we find a promise not just for those disciples, but for everyone who puts their trust in Jesus Christ. It's a promise to the one who believes in Jesus, whoever believes in Jesus. No one gets left out here, or more accurately, let off the hook here. "You will join in the works that I do," he says. The works of the Father. "You will do works that are even greater than mine," he says. Now, I think Jesus knows that that statement, that promise, is actually pretty hard for believers to swallow, which is why I think he opens verse 12 how he does. Now, our Bibles have simplified things a little bit just to make it flow and read a bit more nicely, but not to be a Greek nerd or anything, but anyone could see this just by Googling the Greek of this passage. You will see the first word of chapter 12, "truly," is repeated. It's, in fact, "truly, truly, I tell you." It is the unbelievable truth about Christian mission. The possible that seems like it should be impossible. "Truly, truly, you will do the works of Jesus. And even greater works than these, if you believe in him." Mission, right, the mighty work of Jesus, is for you. And if you don't believe me, hear Jesus' words, truly, truly. Now there's the kind of glaring question of what Jesus actually means by his works. What are his works? What is his mission? Well, Jesus has been, up until this point, talking about, I guess, eternal hope with his disciples, that he will save them, that he will welcome them into the kingdom of God. And so in verse 1 he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And the trouble in the disciples' mind with that is, well, we know Jesus. We follow Jesus. We've seen what he's done. We've heard what he teaches. But you say hope and peace is found in the Father, and we don't know him. So how can the Father be their hope? Well, Jesus says, you want to know the Father, you want to know the way to the Father, no problem. Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So according to Jesus, by knowing him, they know the Father. But, you know, always the slow learners, the disciples kind of have another question, another objection, which Philip pipes up with in verse 8. Well, then show us the Father, and then we'll believe. Right, Jesus has actually just said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But he adds to that now in verse 10. The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his works. Right, Jesus speaks the words of the Father, and he does the works of the Father. The Father who has many rooms in his house, who is the reason for their hearts not to be troubled. Jesus lived on earth on mission, doing his Father's work, bringing people back to God, welcoming them into his Father's house. That's then, I think, the same work that Jesus turns to in verse 12. The work of bringing people to God. So how is it then that we're going to somehow do greater works than Jesus? Well, we see, I think, what Jesus actually means in the book of Acts. As these very disciples go out and do greater works than his. Well, what do we expect when we say this? I mean, maybe they make a few more loaves of bread and fish out of a few less to begin with. Maybe they turn water into coffee instead of wine. Much better, in my opinion. But, you know, despite the fact that as you look through the book of Acts, there is a light smattering of miracles that the disciples perform, the emphasis here is on their mighty works of conversion. For example, just take Acts 2. Right? In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, more people come to put their trust in Jesus and join this little merry band of Christians and believers than throughout Jesus' entire earthly ministry. One day. Friends, the point is not that these disciples, or us for that matter, are somehow better than Jesus. That's nonsense. We're not. We know that. He's the perfect Son of God. He's our Lord and our Savior and the one who leads us in this work. But we do have that same work. We do have that same mission as Jesus, which is the mission of God the Father in bringing people to him. Now, that's only possible because Jesus lived and died and rose. But he does so that everyone who believes in him would be on mission, that the mission would multiply fantastically, that like the seed sown in good soil, the work of the Father would multiply 30 or 60 or even 100 times. Friends, we're not saying that somehow what we do is better in quality than what Jesus does. But in quantity, yes. We continue his mission. We multiply his mission. His mission didn't stop when he ascended. It continues and multiplies and grows as the kingdom of God does. If you believe in Jesus, you share in his work, you are on mission. And Jesus charges us with it. So friends, might be a news flash to you, but you are missionaries. Now on our own, that's an impossible task. And to be fair, I wouldn't blame you too much if you looked around and said, well, Jesus ascended. He left us. He's up there. We're down here. It's all well and good to believe in him and his power and his ability. But how does that help us when our sister or our friend or our boss thinks that we're a fool for telling them about Jesus? Well, Jesus answers that. The truth is, we're not alone. God is with us. We see it in chapter 14, but also in chapter 20. Now, both of these chapters come just before a time when the disciples probably thought they'd been abandoned. After chapter 14, Jesus would die. After chapter 20, Jesus would ascend into heaven. Both these times, by human measures, they're probably looking around and would conclude that they were on their own if it weren't for Jesus' words. See, hear his words that assure us that we're not left to this task without help. Chapter 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Or verse 17. He remains with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. Or chapter 20, verse 22, we see that it's not just empty promises. As Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus has not left us alone. God is with us. Now, I'm very aware of when we use that kind of phrasing, that we're not alone, God is with us, it kind of rings a bell of, you know, Simba looking in the puddle and seeing the reflection of Mufasa and Rafiki saying, he's in you, he's with you. That's the second Lion King reference I've used this year. I've probably watched too many kids' movies. But that's not the case, right? We often say about people who we miss, they'll always be with me. Even when what we mean by that is they're gone. Perhaps we will really miss them and we remember them as their impact on us lasts. But what Jesus is saying here is so much more than that. It's more than he will be remembered or that he'll have a lasting impact. He's saying that although he's gone to sit at God's right hand in heaven, God is with us and in us. Now, I hope you believe this and are encouraged by this. I mean, do you feel that the mission Jesus puts you on bringing people to God is impossible because somehow you're on your own? And on your own, well, none of us are good enough. Well, if God was here with you, empowering you, charging you to go and speak his message, tell me, how would that change? Because the truth is, Jesus returned to the Father, but God has given us the Holy Spirit to do just that. Look, without the Spirit, we have no hope. We might as well just give up on the mission. See, when you lack the Spirit of God, that great commission we see at the end of Matthew, it's impossible. But Jesus has not abandoned us to it. God, the Holy Spirit is with us. So yes, we'll do great works on mission. God's work, in fact. Yes, we'll have God with us. And yet, there is one thing that will be impossible. That is loving Jesus, which I sincerely hope that each one of you do, and yet still ignoring the mission to bring people to God that Jesus has set us on. See, Jesus says, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And verse 23, again, because like the disciples, we're slow learners. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Jesus' commands span the whole of our life, right? But I want to just focus on the idea of doing his work that Jesus is talking about here. It sure seems to us that it would be possible to ignore Jesus' command to bring people to God, even if we love him. You know, ignore that charge to do the work of his Father. You know, leave it for someone else. Leave it for the Chennies or the Cathys of the world. Leave it for Jake as he goes out to the local high schools. But we cannot claim to love him and ignore him. I mean, Jesus tells us that's impossible. So I think we need to do as he commands if we love him. That is, believe in him as he commands in verse 11. And therefore, as one who believes in him, do the work he does. The Father's work, bring people to God so that they might be saved. Mission is not neutral. Mission is literally life and death. Mission is not take it or leave it. It's not something we do and think about once a year when we get to Mission Sunday. Mission is the expression of our love for Jesus. We cannot go about ignoring what Jesus has in store for us. So do you love Jesus? Well, if you do, then do his work. Carry out his mission. Friends, God has called each of us, if our faith is in Jesus, to do this mission, to be on mission. He charges us with it. He's with us in it. And he holds us to it. Mission matters for each of us. So what I want us to do is Frank's going to come up in a moment. And he's going to present a model of mission. And you'll see there are the people we partner with on mission. And then you're going to see that there's another column. And down the bottom, the last person in the column is going to be you, with a question mark. I want you to think tonight and going forward about how that might look for you. How will you be on mission? How will you partner with the people who we support as a church, and how will you do the work of the Father in bringing people to him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for including us in your work. Thank you for calling us and remaining with us and holding us to your mission. Father, we thank you so much that by your mission, you brought us to you, that we might have peace in our troubled hearts and know that we have a place in your eternal kingdom as beloved children. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Hey guys, thanks for having me along. You might notice that I've got a very rusty voice at the moment, so you'll have to bear with me, I'm sorry. And thank you for having the opportunity to speak here. Up behind me, we've got our new mission support structure for the church. And I'm here on behalf of Parish Council and more specifically the Subcommittee of Missions on Parish Council. It's my job to kind of explain this to you and give you the reasons for our decisions and what we hope it'll achieve for us as a church. So up there you can see we've got four categories. We've got an international category. We've got a national category, a state category, and a local category. It is our intention that going forward we'll support a mission worker or a mission working family for each one of those categories. You can also see that we've got our community member ministries, and I'll talk about them a little bit later. But I thought I'd just give you a brief update on each one of our kind of mission partners in those categories. So Chenny T is working in Japan. Stop me if this has been shared already. Okay, great. She is expected back in December and January on her home assignment. So I think that means she's been in Japan for 4 years. She had to learn Japanese. And one of her recent prayer updates, she shared with us that she's recently begun teaching the Bible in campsite and conference settings to the students that she works with in Japan, and she's teaching in Japanese. So her process to do that is to write the teaching material in English and then to translate it into Japanese. And then she's got a mentor, a Japanese-speaking mentor, who helps her to kind of make sure the Japanese translation of her English teaching is accurate and what she wants to say. So she's invested a lot of time and a lot of effort into her ministry there. Learning a completely new language is a really big thing. And she's starting to see the fruits of that investment there. Kathy Dowd, I assume you've seen the video already today. Yeah, so Kathy is going to be in the Northern Territory translating Aboriginal languages translating the Bible into Aboriginal languages. I can't really add much to what Kathy has said apart from to say that she is fantastic at communicating. She's probably the most helpful person that Tiff and I have heard from over email and on socials about what her ministry actually is and what she's doing. So I'd encourage you to sign up to her newsletters, friend her on things on the internet and all that. BCA, we have an existing relationship with the church in Lightning Ridge. So BCA is the Bush Church Aid Society. And one of the really practical ways that we support them is through having boxes that we can take home and put our loose change in. I'm not sure how much they raise each year, but from what I know, it's a significant amount, especially when you consider just how much pocket change we have floating around that we usually lose in our car. So Bush Church Aid, they're expecting a new senior minister out there in December. So they've been a significant amount of time since they had their last minister out there. So it's a hope and prayer that that ministry team out there, of the minister and then the lay people, will be able to keep on going. It's certainly a tough community. It's been very affected by our recent droughts, or our ongoing droughts. So please have them in your prayers, as well as take up the money boxes. I'd highly recommend that. And locally, we are going to support Hadzia. I'm not sure how many of you did go to Asquith Boys or Girls. Is there anyone here that went to Asquith Boys and Girls? Yep, Tom Carlos, back in the day. There you go, a few others. So Hadzia is an incredibly vital ministry for us. If our church outreach programs are going to work, one of the key things that we need is an engagement with people in our local area. And the engagement we have at the schools is incredibly important, and it's an incredibly hard place to do mission work. Jake and the Hadzia teachers before him have faced a lot of struggles. I'm sure you're aware of them in part. I'm happy to share more about them if you want to talk to me afterwards. But Hadzia has both a great prayer need and a great financial commitment need. So we do want to support them and bring their needs to us as a community on a regular basis. So they're our formal mission partners, and we will have a kind of a rotation going through the year where we'll bring their prayer requests to us as a church, share their joys, and pray with them in their struggles as well. We also want to highlight that there's a lot of people in our community that do ministry and mission work. It might be formal mission work of the church. So for example, we have a prayer group at the church that meets to pray very regularly. I'm incredibly grateful for that prayer group. It's a really unsung and underknown about mission activity. But we also have lots of people who either work or volunteer in activities outside of church who are doing mission work. So I've tried to give you a broad snapshot of some examples up there. I have not given a comprehensive list because one of the things is I don't know it. Over the past 3 days, as I've been talking to people about this idea, I've heard about 3 or 4 new ministries that I had no idea were going on in our church. So it's our intention that by sharing these community member ministries on a needs basis, that as a church we'll be able to appreciate and understand the variety of investment that people in our church have in mission work. We hope it'll be a great encouragement to you and a great benefit to our church. And we hope that it'll be beneficial for the people who are going and doing these ministries that we may or may not know about. So that's our new framework. I'll give you a few formal things as well because I think they're helpful. The structure came about because we wanted to give the mission workers that we work with more clarity about what we want to do with them and what we expect for them to invest in our church as well. So we hope that we get some more clarity and we're able to build strong and strategic links with the people doing mission work as our mission partners. We also want to have a diversity of age, ethnic background, context, and family status for both our missionaries and their audiences. So we don't want to just employ one model of mission worker who goes to one sort of community. I'm not undermining or belittling any mission work, but we want to get a great diversity because we want to find mission work that appeals to different people in our community. Things that will engage you and inspire you and lead you to support and pray for people. So we've given what I hope you'll see is a great diversity of mission partners. We also want a model that will be renewable. So once every 4 years for each one of these categories, we'll review what our mission partner is doing. We want to have a formal kind of check and balance to make sure that we are still supporting mission work that we know about and that is going on in a way that we see as valuable. And it's not a kind of mechanism to like flick people off and get the next person in. It's just a way we can review it as a church and give some clarity to the mission partners that we have. And then the last thing to note is when choosing a mission partner, the reason that the subcommittee of the parish council came about was we had to make a choice about whether we supported a missionary family that was brought to us. But we realised we had no framework in order to decide whether we could or could not, should or should not support this mission partner that had come to us. So we came up with 5 key questions that we think are really valuable. And it's worth acknowledging that there are tons of fantastic ministry that we just can't support. We don't have the financial resources, we don't have the prayer resources, we don't have unlimited time, etc. So we hope that these 5 questions give us some clarity about who we support now and in the future as well. So I thought I'd share them with you. The first question we asked is the mission godly, necessary, and in a place where it will grow God's kingdom? We firmly believe that these 4 mission partners are definitely going to do that. We definitely believe they're gospel-focused ministries in places that will grow God's kingdom. Secondly, will the mission partners shape and challenge the faith of the people in our church in a positive way? Again, we believe that these 4 will definitely do that. We've got a really great resource here. As I mentioned before, Kathy's very communicative. Chenny sends regular prayer updates. And we hope to link closer with Hadsia and the Lightning Ridge Church once that's established with a new ministry staff member there. The third question we asked is, will the mission partner actively partner with us? Again, we believe so. The fourth question is, does the mission partner fill both a location and diversity gap in our structure? As you can see, these 4 mission partners do just that. And finally, is the church able to prayerfully and financially support their needs? We think the church is able to, and God willing, we'll see that both through prayer and financial support. We've chosen not to put financial targets on any of these givings because it's very hard for us to manage as a church. We would encourage you to give individually because I think that's far more effective and powerful than kind of giving as a lump sum as a church. We may still do that, but it is our intention that members will give either through the church or directly on a basis as they feel led. So I'd encourage you to prayerfully consider that. And I think a lot's been said on giving in sermons and on addresses about finances over the past year, so I won't go any further on that. It's worth noting as well that you'll see that there are now some people who we have previously supported that are not on our structure. There are a number of people that we've been in conversation with through the process and have advised that the church will no longer formally be supporting their ministries. That is not to say that we don't want people in the church to support their ministries. By all means, if you've got a passion and a connection with Tom and Jingyi Conyers, with the Keiths or the Maxwells, please continue to actively support them. We're just saying that as a church, we're going to look forward and we're going to pursue some new mission avenues, but we're in no means saying don't look back as well. And in due time, some of the people in this structure will have moved on. And again, we'd hope that they still receive support from people in the church, even if they're not being mentioned on a regular basis up the front. So to finish, what could it mean for you? Well, as Tim very helpfully said before, I'd encourage you to consider what mission you're involved in. And I would love for you to share that with our church. Probably the easiest way to start out with is if you want to be given a time, we aim to do this like once a month or so, given a time to stand up in front of the church or send an email asking for financial or prayer support on something, we would love to hear that. So let the office know, let the ministry staff know, and we'll try and make it happen as soon as we can. We also want to change a few things around the church. So you'll notice that the church bulletin now reflects this new structure, and is our intention that general prayers each week will also pray on a rotational basis for our mission partners as well as community member ministries. We'll update the notice board out the back in front of creche. These changes have already been made to the parish directory. We'll have a regular PowerPoint slide each month to update you on things of mission partners. And I would encourage you, if you're part of a Bible study or lead a Bible study, to actively include our mission partners in your prayers. Reach out to them, reach out to the ministry staff to find out things about them that you can be praying for. So that's all I was going to say. I'll be around afterwards for a chat if you want to chat more. And thank you for listening.